Today's sermon is titled, Let His Light Shine. It's about Jesus Christ as the light of the world and what that means for us here today in Kearney as a new church plant. And the goal is, as you would think, to let the light of Christ shine wherever you go. That's what we're going to be learning about today. And to start, I would like to point out the very obvious fact of our reality, which is that we live in a world of darkness. All around us, we live in a world where everyone has turned their back on God. From the beginning, the first two people that God made, in accepting that temptation from the serpent and catapulting all of humanity into darkness and captivity to Satan, we've lived in a world of darkness all along. From people in our world who are supposedly the brightest and the smartest, believing that we came from the animals, to the safest, or what is supposed to be the safest place on earth, a mother's womb, actually becoming the most dangerous place on earth, where moms and dads sacrifice their children at the altar of convenience and career and success. Where little boys and girls are told that there is no such thing as little boys and girls, and are given puberty blockers and all sorts of insane things, including surgeries to cut off private parts or alter private parts. We live in a world of darkness, a world where even cows are worshipped, or the sun and the moon, a world where people are lost. Right? What does it mean to be lost? You don't know where you came from. You don't know who you are or what you are. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what's good or evil. Right? We live in a world where we call good evil. And we call light darkness. So we live in a world of darkness. And this world of darkness is not something new for us today. It's been like that, like I mentioned, since the fall. Man. And this was the world that we find in the first century, where Jesus Christ was born. None of these things that we're doing are new. And lots of times people say, hey, things have really gotten bad now. No, people have been doing these things forever. If we see the nations that God, the Canaanite nation where God brought Israel and had them wiped out, it's because they were doing a lot of these things. Men with men and with animals and sacrificing children and that's the world that Jesus Christ was born. So into this world, we see, or we hear, a voice crying out in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. And then we see Jesus in baptism. It says, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son, with you I am well pleased. What is that? That's a light shining in the darkness. That's God's truth being made clear for all to see. I mean, think about how crazy that is. The sky's torn open, and a voice comes down from heaven, singling someone out and saying, this is my beloved son, right here. This is the truth, right here. And we see that all throughout the Gospel of Mark, right? We see Jesus from there, immediately he goes out, he's preaching that people should repent and believe the good news. We hear of his teaching and how he spoke with such authority. He wasn't like the other teachers who were constantly quoting people, and this rabbi says this, and this theologian. People think that maybe possibly it could be this. Jesus spoke the final word on everything he spoke. What is that? It's a light shining in the darkness. And we see how Jesus went about healing people. Or people were actually just being brought to him. And he healed everyone that they brought to him with a word. In a world that's broken and falling apart and everyone's dying, the cemeteries are full, Jesus was out here healing people and raising people from the dead. What is that? It's a light shining in the darkness. We see him casting out demons, which shows that he has absolute authority and power over darkness. And yet, in the middle of all this, as Jesus is going around doing this from town to town, we also start to see some things that kind of make you raise your eyebrow. We see, for example, how after cleansing the leper and commanding him to go and obey the law of Moses and do what the law said, he also says to not let everyone know, not make it known what Jesus had done. And of course, the leper or the cleansed man, no longer a leper, glory to God. He didn't listen to anyone and told everyone. He actually made it harder for Jesus to go from town to town. But what's that? What's going on there when Jesus is sort of like hiding who he is? And even as he was casting out demons, see, the demons, even if the other people didn't recognize who Jesus was, the demons recognized who he was. They knew that he was the creator. And they would say, "You are the Holy One. We know who you are. You're the Son of God." But Jesus would give them a strong rebuke to not make him know. And then if you guys remember the very last message that we heard in Mark, where Jesus was teaching on the parable of the soils, how the soil goes out to sow, and some of the soil seed falls on different soils. After that, there was some confusion on what that meant, and Jesus pulled his disciples aside and explained to them why he was speaking in parables. And look at what he says. In Mark chapter 4, verse 10, when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables, and he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Can you imagine how this could be confusing to his disciples? The light of the world is here, and yet the light of the world, it seems like, is being secretive and hiding his identity and his message. So this could lead to a wrong, or it could lead to someone at least questioning, is this some sort of secret? Is the reign of the Messiah like a secret reign? Is this some sort of secret cult where we have handshakes and passwords and you gotta pay money to unlock deeper knowledge and work your way up? Is the gospel something hidden? Should we keep Jesus and the Bible out of the conversation? Should we keep the gospel to ourselves? Right? This is a private, personal thing. This is between me and God, and it's just for me, it's not for everybody. The way some of us are, I think, somehow seems like it is a secretive religion. Do your coworkers know that you're a Christian? For example? So we have this idea, don't let anyone know that I'm a Christian. It doesn't really need to come up. It's between me and God. It's me on Sunday. And it would seem, you know, by looking at our lives sometimes, and when I say some of us, I include myself. By looking at our lives sometimes, it will seem like if you go to the Bible, oh, there's a verse that says, don't tell anyone about Christ. Oh, so this guy's actually faithful. But that's the idea. Is the gospel an exclusive message? Why was Jesus being sort of secretive and hidden with the message at this point in the Gospel of Mark? And that's what Jesus is going to address right now. So let's turn to Mark chapter 4 in verse 21, where Jesus says, and he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? How do you answer that question? Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket? No, absolutely not, right? Now, it's interesting, according to commentaries that I read in preparing for this, that it seems like in the Greek, the literal way that verse begins is, comes the lamp. Comes the lamp. And a few things that you notice about that is that it says the lamp, not a lamp. So it's not just any lamp, it's the lamp. And it says comes, not is brought. So from that, you can sort of see agency, or you see the lamp being active instead of passive. It's not being brought, it's coming. Like it has personal agency. All that to say that this lamp is Jesus Christ himself. Does the lamp come to be hidden under a basket? Now, can you imagine if we were having this meeting on Tuesday night, right? And the lights go out completely, dark, pitch black, can't see anything. Everyone starts taking out their phones, putting on the flashlight so we can see. And can you imagine if someone, David, to pick on someone, says, all right, guys, he comes out with a backpack and says, everyone, put your lights in here, your phones in here. He gathers it up, closes it up, and he throws it into the closet and closes the door and stands there. We would all be like, has he lost his mind? Marry up, okay. That would be completely ridiculous, right? It would be absurd to do that. So now let's apply this to God himself in the gospel. The gospel, Jesus Christ, was God's plan all along, from before the creation of the world. From the moment that Adam and Eve sinned and brought the world into darkness and captivity to Satan, immediately God is prophesying the coming of Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman who will crush the serpent's head. And from there, the whole story of the Old Testament is preparing the way for the coming of Christ. Why didn't God destroy the whole world in the days of Noah? Because he had that promise that he was going to keep. So he saves a family and he starts all over. Then we see him choosing a man named Abraham and tell him, go to this land that I'm going to show you. I'm going to make a nation out of you and I'm going to bless the whole world through you. What was that about? It was about Jesus Christ coming into the world. And then when the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt, God chose a man named Moses and delivered them from slavery and brought them to their own land and gave them laws by which to live by, sacrifices, the temple, priesthood, all these things. What was that all about? It was about Jesus Christ coming into the world, the promise of God, the gospel. And we see it all throughout the entire Old Testament, this anticipation of the light who will be coming into the world. And as we saw before, the light did come into the world and went about doing good and preaching the truth of God, revealing God to us. People who are completely lost, he reveals who God is, who we are, and how we can be forgiven. And how does he provide this salvation and this forgiveness? He does so by laying down his own life on the cross for our sins. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, if you're not saved, this message that I'm explaining right now is called the gospel. This is the light of God. This is the truth of reality, the truth of your world, that you are a sinner, that you are darkness. We are all darkness apart from God. We all do the deeds of darkness. We all practice sin. We all live in sin. We're born in sin. And because of it, we're under God's condemnation and wrath. That's just facts. This is not a message that someone's bringing that's going to mess up your day and make you feel bad. But this is just reality. Like when you go to a doctor, the doctor says, I'm sad to say that. Here the results say that you have this. The doctor's not giving you some sort of disease. He's telling you the truth. And if there's a cure, you need to know that, right? So God is telling us the truth, and he gives us the cure. He gives us his own son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in our place, to take our punishment upon himself. The just for the unjust. So Jesus Christ comes. He was manifested in the flesh, and he went about doing what the prophets foretold, including dying on the cross, and on the third day, what? Rising from the dead. What is that? It's the light of God shining as bright as it can shine. That our greatest enemy, death, where we're all headed, has been defeated, that the tomb is empty, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That's the kingdom of God, the world of the future that we're headed to, breaking into human history and shining forth for all to see. There is a Savior. There is salvation. There is forgiveness. There is a light in this dark world. Now, how absurd would it be for God to do all of that and then put the gospel in the backpack, throw it in the closet, lock it up, and stand there? That would be completely ridiculous. And that's not what the gospel is. As we see here, no, the light is not brought in and put under a bed or in a basket. It's put on a lampstand. And as that gospel has been spread out all over the world, it's come to sinners like us, who live thousands of miles away and speak different languages from different ethnicities and different backgrounds. It's come to us, and this light, for those of us who have received this light and embraced this light, we've been transformed by this light, and we've been filled with this light, the Holy Spirit of God who dwells within us. So this light, I guess you can say, in one sense, we are the light. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world," to us who have received Him. And we're also kind of the lampstand where the light is placed so everyone can see. Just look at the next verse. Verse 22, it says, Jesus went on to say, "For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." Nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. I missed Bruce's surprise birthday party at Aston. As I was preparing this, but you can tell I was thinking about him because I included him in this in this example. But for that, that was a very secretive and hidden thing, wasn't it? Where people were plotting behind the scenes and trying to come up with arrangements and how are we going to get him there. It was secret and hidden. But it wasn't secret and hidden forever. How absurd would that have been if the day came and Bruce got there and he didn't see anything and he just went about his day and went home and went to sleep? No, it was hidden for a purpose. It was secret for a purpose until a specific time. But when that time came, it's made manifest and it's revealed. So the gospel of Christ was hidden for a moment while Christ was here on earth, while it was still, you know, happening, while it was still leading to the cross. Yes, it was hidden in a certain sense. His time had not yet come. But when his time came, and when did his time come? After the resurrection. After Christ rose again from the dead, what did he do? The resurrected Christ, surrounded by his disciples, he gives a great commission. He commands his people to go out there and make this known to everybody. Let's turn to Luke chapter 24. This is Jesus Christ after he rose again from the dead, speaking to his disciples. Luke chapter 24, verse 44, he says, "Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things.'" So from there we see Jesus Christ commanding his apostles, go out and tell everybody, and that's exactly what we see them doing from the day of Pentecost when the Spirit came down and they were all filled with the Spirit and immediately went outside and started proclaiming the gospel. In the same place where Christ was crucified, not even 2 months earlier, they began preaching loudly, clearly, boldly, that this Christ whom you crucified, God has raised from the dead. And the people were cut to their hearts, and they said, "What must we do?" And what was the response? "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins." So this message went out publicly, and that's the story throughout the whole book of Acts. We see how the gospel is going forth. It's going from place to place. And what we see today throughout history is going all over the world. Sadly, it hasn't reached every single part. There are still places that have not heard the gospel. But the gospel so far has gone into Africa, China, South America, North America, Europe, Russia, everywhere. We see that this light has been spreading out. And God's people, these lights, whom he has saved and made into lights, are going out preaching the gospel. So, to answer that question about whether it's a secretive call, no, it's a very open message meant for everyone to hear and to receive. But that's the next question is, okay, what are we to do with this message? How are we to receive this message? How are we to respond to this? So we see in the very next verse that Jesus says something that he said many times, which is, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." It's possible to have ears, but but not ears that hear. So this message is for those who have ears to hear. Do you have ears to hear this message from the Lord? Look at what he says in verse 24. He said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So how are we to respond to the truth of the gospel, to the word that we're hearing even today? If you're not a believer, how are you to respond to this message? If you weren't here when we learned about the parable of the soils, we see that there's different responses. Some people, the word goes in one ear and goes out the other. Other people listen very superficially and apparently receive the word, but very quickly when trials come, they fall away. Others listen to the word, but they're distracted by all sorts of things. Worldly pleasures and desire for riches and fame and power and whatever. So that those things choke out the word. So there's many wrong ways to hear the gospel. Here we're told, pay attention to what you hear. This means pay attention to what you hear, whether it's something good or bad. But also, it's talking about pay attention to how you hear. How are you responding to this word? Right now, how are you responding to this word? It's crazy to think that God, even right now, is judging how we're responding to this. How do you respond to the word of Christ? And this is a principle that we see throughout the Bible. For example, in Galatians chapter 6, we see something very similar, which says that you reap what you sow. Right? If you sow one thing, you shouldn't expect to reap something completely different. You're going to get back what you're putting in. So here it's saying the same thing. The way that you listen determines what you're getting out of this. Or how much you're getting out of it. So if you listen close and attentively to the word, and in this specific context, the word is about letting your light shine. So if you listen to that word with attention, if you're someone who trembles at God's word, and you hear what Jesus is saying, and you have an open heart to receive it and embrace it, then what do you get? If you're not a believer, you get forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Much more than you can imagine. Forgiveness of sins and eternal life if you receive this gospel word of Christ. And if you don't receive this word, if you're neglectful, or you're not really paying attention, you kind of don't really care, it doesn't seem relevant to you, you're listening superficially, then even what you think you have, you're going to lose. Right now, today, it might kind of make sense to you. Yeah, it kind of sounds true. Maybe that is something that I should do. But tomorrow or the next week, you don't even want to hear it at all. You're not open to hearing anything. That happens. So it's very important how we hear God's word, how we respond to it. The measure you use, it will be measured to you. And in this context, about sharing the gospel, it's about you receiving that word and doing it, applying it. Let the light shine. Don't hide the light. Don't try to do something absurd like putting it under a basket. Let the light shine. So I'd like to give you guys some ideas on how to let the light shine. First, if you're a believer and you've been saved by the Lord, you've repented, and Christ is your Lord and Savior, question, have you been baptized? Because I know that happens a lot when people get saved and they're attending the church, but somehow baptism gets forgotten. But that's one of the first, if not the first command that God has for his people. The moment you're following Christ, the very first thing that he tells you to do is get baptized. So if you haven't gotten baptized, I encourage you, let your light shine, obey the Lord, get baptized. And since this context is really about letting the light go out to everyone and evangelism, invite all your friends and family. Make it a big deal. Tell your coworkers, tell your neighbors, tell your strangers. Let's see if we can fill this whole place up. Even though I don't know if it will actually be here. I don't know how that would work. But wherever it is, let your light shine. Let people come out and see this great physical demonstration of the gospel. How you have died. The old self has died and the new man is risen with Christ. for you to publicly align yourself with Christ. I'm one of his people. So people can hear the gospel. Let your light shine. Another one is, let people know that you're a Christian. Something as simple as that. Let people know that you're a Christian. For me, that saved me a lot of heartache even. Because I've been in a situation where I become friends with someone. Like, let's say someone at the gym, I'm talking to someone, and months pass, and you kind of develop a friendship, and you're talking. And somehow, now it becomes awkward to say, actually, I'm a Christian, and I believe. It's a lot easier for me to just straight up say from the get, I mean, in an organic way, and just like, hi, I'm a Christian. But just let it be known, like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I go to church, you know. Just let it be known. It's a lot easier. But also, already, your light is shining. It's being made clear that this guy is one of God's people. Even if the person doesn't think that. Even if the person actually hates you before telling them that you're a Christian. But another thing that I think is helpful is when you're in a conversation at work or somewhere, and whatever the conversation is, and you're included, or someone wants to know your opinion, people know clearly that my opinion is going to be God's word. I'm a Christian. The Bible says this, that, and the third. Don't hide your life, right? It's tempting to not shake the bowl. Don't try to be scandalous and try to just, you know, keep the peace. It's tempting to do that. But no, why would we do that? It's a world of darkness that needs the light of Christ, that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let your light shine. Don't be stingy with the gospel. Put it out there. I have a coworker who's always, I've preached the gospel to him, and he asks me for advice, and the advice is always under some crazy premise. Like, he's talking about dating websites and the women that he finds on there, and what should he do? And if you're not thinking clearly, you somehow accept the crazy premise and try to give good advice in that premise. According to this premise, this is what you should do. My answer is always the same. Well, first, you got to repent and believe the gospel. That's the first thing you got to do. You got to get saved. Then you got to find a biblical church that's going to teach you the word of God, and you can fellowship with other believers. That's what you should really do, and focus on learning and growing in the Lord. And while you're there, you might meet a sister who loves the Lord, and if you meet her and marry her, have kids, that's what you should do. I'm not going to skip all of this important stuff first and try to give you advice on how to. Another thing is, which is clear throughout the scripture, how to let your light shine, is for us to love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. The message that Damien preached a few weeks ago about us being family really hit me. It's amazing to think that we are family. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And those of us who are older, for some of you, that's me, which is weird, but I'm like your father in the Lord. And if you're older than me, you're like my father in the Lord, or you're my mother in the Lord, my sister. That's how we're to regard one another, treat one another, and look out for one another. Bible says that they'll know we're a Christian by our love for one another. And in 1 John it says that if you hate your brother, then you're walking in darkness and the light is not in you. So in this world of darkness, which seems like it's impenetrable and seems hopeless in some regard, how things seem to be getting worse every day and more bizarre and crazier every day. We talk about a slippery slope. Arguments that were considered a slippery slope yesterday, we've gone way past that today. We're on to completely even more ridiculous things with the darkness that has taken over everyone. So it can feel like Christianity's on the way out, and it's all about this new religion of wokeness or whatever it is, where everything is outrageous and everything is sin, every little seemingly innocent thing is actually wicked and wrong despite your intentions. All of this stuff that we see right now, the fact that being a Christian, just saying I'm a follower of Christ, means to the world, it means that you're a bigot, a hateful, sexist, misogynist, homophobic, blah, 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 all a million different things. It seems like the darkness is going to win. But brothers and sisters, it's impossible for the darkness to win. It's impossible for the darkness to win. The light always wins. If you're playing rock, paper, scissors, you know how rock beats scissors or whatever? Light always beats darkness. Always beats darkness. And that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is doing throughout the whole world, dispelling darkness wherever it goes, turning sinners from darkness to light, turning the people of Satan into the people of God, turning sinners into saints, and turning darkness into light. So that right now, what we have in this meeting is a meeting of light. This right here, in the spiritual world, is a bright light right now. The Word of God is being preached. We have people filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the light of God right here, right now. And where has He placed us? He's placed us incarnate. So here incarnate, let us not be those who hide the light. Let us be those who go out there and let that light shine. Come what may. Who cares what people say? Who cares what people think? Let's go out there humbly, loving one another, loving the lost, loving our enemies, and preaching Christ for the glory of God. Amen.